got me on Facebook Live, and she has that phone plastered to the side of my head right now. If you have your bulletins, first of all, we have a few announcements. First of all, the women's Bible study tomorrow here at the church at 9 in the morning or 6:30 in the evening, or you can come to both. The lesson this week is learning to accept unconditional love, and we all need help in this area sooner or later, and everybody said amen to that. We sure do. We need to know that God loves us with unconditional love. And then March the 14th, and we also need to give it away as well. March the 14th, this Wednesday night, we'll be having youth here from 6 to 7:30 for 6th through 12th grades. And then March the 21st, which is going to be the following Wednesday, we'll have No Victory Youth due to spring break. And then you can see March the 31st is our Men Beast Feast, where we'll be going to the First Church of God in Clinton from 6 to 8. It's going to be a benefit to the Oklahoma Outdoor Outreach Foundation, which takes the terminally ill and handicapped on hunting trips in Oklahoma. The speaker will be Tim Anello with Inside Outdoors. There'll be a raffle for a rifle, and a lifetime hunting fishing license will be given away as well. And then on April the 1st, which is April Fool's Day, and no joking about it, we're going to celebrate Easter here at Harvest Fellowship Church. So that's going to be an awesome time. And I'm actually looking forward to that Sunday because my daughter will be here. And they're moving back to Western Oklahoma, and we were praising God today for that. We found that out just here really last week about them going to be, they're looking about settling down in Weatherford. So we're excited about that. Yeah, there were times we thought it was UConn. There was times we thought it might be Clinton. There was times we thought it might be Cordell, but we finally got it settled down. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Weatherford, so we're excited about that. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. And I encourage you to read Judges 13 through 16. I hope you're doing that. And I have been reading it and rereading it. It doesn't take very long. It's just a few chapters. But it tells you the story. And I may have to sit down a little bit. Today I've got a little hitch in my back, so I may have to sit and teach. That's where the Jewish rabbis would sit and teach, so I may have to do that today. But and then also turn to Romans 12, and if you're really good, you can turn to number 6. So I always try to give you at least two to turn to, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. So Judges 14, Romans 12, and number 6. And this is basically the title of this message is Samson Part 2. Last week was Part 1. I encourage you to go back. You can go to hfchurch.com and listen to the podcast. I appreciate Travis. He puts those online for us. You can even go back on Church's Aid and watch the video as well from last Sunday. But the teaching last week was gifted but not grounded. And so we talked about how that Samson was a very gifted man of God, but he wasn't grounded. And he needed to be grounded, we found out last week. And when you read Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16, he was to be grounded to what we call a Nazarite vow. And we're going to, actually, the title of this message today, and that's why it's up there, is the New Testament Nazarite vow is the name of this message. Because even though we're going to look in Numbers chapter 6, that the Nazarite vow was something done in the Old Testament, we can actually do it in the New Testament. And we're going to learn what that looks like in the New Testament. So if you have your Bibles, and I'm also going to put them up on the big screen as well, we're going to turn to Numbers chapter 6 because I want you to see this. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, this is talking about the Nazarite vow and what it is. And so in verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or a woman," so it was for male or female, "wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazarite, they must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or other fermented drink. They must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins." How many of you like raisins in here? So a few of you. So they couldn't eat any of that. And then verse 4, it says, "As long as they remain under their Nazarite vow, they must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. During the entire period of their Nazarite vow, no razor may be used on their head," so they couldn't cut their hair. "They must be holy until the period of their dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. Throughout the period of their dedication to the Lord, the Nazirite must not go near a dead body. And I've learned a lot this week about the Nazirite vow, and I used to think that this was something that you did for a lifetime, because every time you hear about the Nazirite vow, most people, if you know anything about the Word of God, you immediately go to the story of Samson, which he was a Nazirite from birth, and he was a Nazirite his entire life. This Nazirite vow was to something he was to be grounded to his entire life. But most of the time in the Old Testament, the Nazirite vow was really something that was done at least, the least was 30 days that they did this. So a lot of times you're thinking, my gosh, if I let my hair grow for a lifetime, how long is my hair going to be? You know, that kind of thing. But usually this was a dedication for like 30 days that they did this, a minimum of 30 days in the Old Testament. And so here was the purpose of the Nazirite vow. The word Nazir is the Hebrew noun, if you want some Hebrew today. It means consecrated or devoted or separated. And it tells us that right there in Numbers chapter 6. And then the requirements of the vow that we just read was, these are my 3 points today, so if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. The first point is going to be grapes and wine, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second, in just a little bit. The second point is going to be talking about the dead. And then number 3 was hair. So they were to have nothing from the grape, they were to have no contact with the dead body, and they were to not cut their hair. And the head is significant. A Nazirite, just like Samson and Jaden, and I encourage you to go see the movie. Jaden and I went and saw the movie here a few weeks ago. The movie Samson has come out. That's what inspired this series for the month of March, is when I went and saw the movie back in February. And I can tell you, it's very good. It's a very good movie. I know I'm on Facebook Live, but it's nothing. Noah was not according to Scripture, okay? If you ever went and saw that Bible story, Noah. But this one is. This one follows the timeline of Scripture very well, very good. And I just want you to know, I am built just like Samson. No, I'm not. Whoever the guy they picked to play Samson, I was like this to Jada. Cover your eyes, honey. Because this guy was ripped. But anyway, it was a great movie, and that followed the timeline of Scripture very well. But a Nazirite, just like Samson, was always recognizable by his or her hair, because they would let it grow out. And I did not know this about hair, I knew part of this about hair. Hair grows throughout our entire life, right? Okay, that's why we have to get haircuts, and I'm needing one this week. Jada just reminded me of that. And believe it or not, your hair even grows a little bit after death. Yeah, I did not know that till I was studying this week. And the ancients, back in the ancient days, they considered it to be the seat of a person's vitality, your hair. And so that was a very big thing. I'm just giving you a little foundation for the Nazirite vow, and then we're going to get into what it means to us today. And so when you study Samson's life, when you do read Judges 13, 14, 15, 16, you're going to see this Nazirite vow coming up in every chapter when you study about him. And so here's Samson's 3 failures. Samson violated the dead with the lion, and we're going to read that here in just a second, as well as with his many battles with the Philistines. The lion scene is unique because he scoops the honey out of the carcass with his hand in the lion, and we're going to read about that here in just a second. Samson violated wine at a wedding party in Judges chapter 14. And then in the last chapter, Judges chapter 16, we see that Samson violated the hair with Delilah. We all know, if you've ever been in Sunday school, we all know the Samson and Delilah story. And I'm even going to share with you today what I believe, what Scripture teaches, what that word Delilah means to us today. But as I was studying about the Nazirites, there were 2 kinds of Nazirites. One of them was lifelong, and one of them was temporary. And here's the lifelong Nazirites. They resemble the prophets. They were destined for role before birth, like Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the Bible says, was called out of the womb to be a prophet unto the nations. There was only 3 lifelong Nazirites in the Bible. All, and I found this interesting, all of them had barren mothers. Manoah and Samson. That's what we're studying right now in Judges chapter 13. Hannah and Samuel, and then also Elizabeth and John the Baptist in the New Testament. So those are the three. So now we've got a little foundation laid. I want you to turn to Judges chapter 14, if you have your Bible, and we're going to look at what it has to say about Samson and what was going on. I want you to realize he was from birth to be a Nazarite. Even his mother, when she was carrying him, the angel of the Lord, which was the Lord himself, spoke to her and told her that she needed to do the Nazarite vow herself for this time period that she was you know, pregnant with Samson. And then Samson was to be a Nazarite for life. But Samson, even though this was interesting to me that I had this thought this week, and Jada, I shared this with Jada, is that this all started with Mama's convictions, but it never really grew in Samson. And so what that means is you can't live off your parents' convictions. You need to have your own. I know we have some young people in here. Before you go to college, find out who you are in Jesus Christ. Know who you are. Have some convictions. Have some values. You too, Paige. You've got to have those convictions set in you, knowing who you are. Because I remember when I went to college, I heard all kinds of stuff being taught. I even was in a college class, and I could not believe it. I was in a college class, and the teacher was a philosophy class that I had to have for, you know, to my requirements. And he was basically up there teaching about that there is no God, you know, during class. And so I knew better, but there was a lot of kids there that hadn't got there. They were just like wet cement. They don't have those convictions in them yet. And we need to have those convictions. And Samson, when you study about his life, even though he was a Nazarite, he wasn't convicted by it. That wasn't what it didn't put boundaries on his life and all those things that he needed. And so we're going to pick this up in Judges 14, and this is why I'm saying all this. Because in Judges 14, verse 5, it says, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. And as they approached the vineyards of Timnah, okay, is he supposed to be around vineyards? Okay, he's not. And so he's getting too close to sin, basically. All right, he's traveling a little bit too close. Suddenly, a young lion came roaring towards him. And I believe this is symbolic in the New Testament of Satan, because there's a lion that reigns, and that's Jesus, and there's a lion that has his teeth knocked out from the cross, and that's the enemy. The scripture talks about the two lions, Jesus and Satan. Suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him on Samson, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. And we all remember this from Sunday school, if you've ever been to Sunday school. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. I want you to catch that, because he knew that he wasn't supposed to be messing around the vineyards and all that. Verse 7 says, then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. This was a Philistine woman. That's a whole nother story right there. Verse 8 says, sometime later when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. And this is this speaks of pride. He's like, you know what? I'm a pretty tough dude. I killed a lion with my bare hands. I better go check him out. So he turns aside to the lion's carcass, and in it he saw a swarm of bees and some honey, and he scooped out the honey with his hands and ate as he went along. And when he rejoined his parents, he gave them some of the honey, and they too ate it, but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass, because he's not supposed to touch anything dead, remember? And he knew if he told them, guess who's going to get on to him? Mama. And when Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. He wasn't going to tell Mama what he did. He knew Mama was convicted by this Nazarite vow, but Samson wasn't. Everybody tracking with me? All right. He didn't have those solid convictions in him. And so the title of my message today is the New Testament Nazarite Vow, and we're all going to take the New Testament Nazarite Vow today. Look at somebody and say, I'm fixing to take the New Testament Nazarite Vow. And some of you are saying, well, I don't know, Pastor Mark. You need to tell me what it is first. Well, that's what we're going to do. All right, here's in the New Testament, this is the way that you and I are to be living. In the New Testament, if I was to find a scripture that sums up what the New Testament Nazarite vow is for us, it's Romans 12, 1 through 2, and it's called, you and I are a living sacrifice to the Lord. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is huge. Look at somebody and say, you need to renew your mind. This is the whole key to the New Testament Nazarite vow. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this is, Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, this is the New Testament Nazarite vow. Now, I'm going to explain this all to you. All right, so if you're taking notes, here's 1, 2, and 3 that I told you earlier. And we're going to talk about, the first thing that we're going to talk about is the grapes and wine. Remember in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, they weren't to have anything to do with the grapes, stay away from vineyards. They weren't to have anything to do with even the seed or the skin of a grape. And what grapes represent in Scripture, they speak of God's wrath, is what grapes. You've heard of the grapes of wrath, right? Well, that's what grapes speak of, is God's wrath. Wine, because they weren't supposed to touch the wine either, any fermented drink, wine speaks of understanding. So we are New Testament Christians now, right? We're not in Old Testament, right, everybody? Jesus came, there was a cross, we all know this. And this is what happened at the cross, guys. Jesus took our judgment and he died in our place, meaning he took God's wrath upon himself for us. And we need to wrap our, here's the wine part, we need to wrap our mind around that and have understanding of that. And I know we all have mental assent to that. We all know that in our minds. But I'm talking having it down in here that Jesus died for me. He died in my place. It should have been me on that cross, but he died for me. So many Christians today, and you think, well, I know that, Pastor Mark. I know that. I know that. It amazes me that I've had to renew my mind to this so much, guys, that we, our minds, because we were born with this Adamic nature, we default, our minds like a computer program, we default to thinking that God is out to get us, that God's judgment is still upon us. God's judgment is not on us. Guys, that's good news, because there was a cross. Jesus died in our place. And I've heard so many Christians say, well, you know, oh, I had a flat tire. God hates me. God threw the nail out on the highway and I had a flat tire, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, and I've heard this from Christians that's been in church for years. And I'm like, we're still sucking the bottle. We're still on milk, you know, and we're not eating the meat. We're not grown in our relationship with the Lord. God didn't cause your flat tire. Amen. There was a nail. It rained. Nails came up in the ground. You know, I used to work down here at the Conoco in Leedy, and Matt and I knew any time that rained, and we need to be praying for rain, amen? But we knew any time it rained, we were going to have pickups and cars lined up and trucks and for flat tires, because when it rained, here come the nails and stuff to the surface. And so we knew. But God didn't cause that to happen, amen? Somebody just lost a nail, and you got a flat. So change your flat tire, but don't blame God for it. God gets blamed for so much stuff, and that's one of the enemy's greatest deceptions, is to get you to blame God for things that are happening in your life. And it's really him that caused all the bad things to happen in life in the book of Genesis. Wasn't to be like that. We should be experiencing heaven on earth, but we live in a fallen world. Here's another one. I've heard so many Christians even say this, cancer and disease. And they may have cancer or disease, and then they'll say, God's trying to teach me something. No, he's not. God didn't put that on you. You know, that came from the pit of hell is where it came from. God wants you to be healed in Jesus' name. Why are some people healed and some not? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't. I wish I had that answer as a pastor. I don't. But I do know this. God didn't cause that cancer to come upon you. God didn't cause whatever disease that was to come upon you. And so many Christians think, well, God caused this to happen because he's trying to teach me something. They live under this judgment mentality, always judge. And it's a great deception of the enemy to lie to you that you're still under that judgment, and you're not, because there was a cross. That's basically saying that nothing happened at the cross. No, everything, it's done, it's finished, Jesus said, at the cross. Here's another one that I've heard, and I've heard this even recently. Well, my week's been going like hell, and so God's getting back at me because I didn't go to church last Sunday. Oh, my gosh. No. I've heard that. I've heard that from people. Just here in the last few weeks, I've heard that from people. That is still grapes and wine. You haven't got the understanding that God's wrath was poured out on the cross. Jesus took all of our sin, all of our punishment, all of our judgment upon himself. And we're to walk free from that today. That's why the Apostle Paul told the Romans in Romans 8:1, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Of course, I've got a lot of favorites. And he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No guilt, no shame, no judgment, none of that, no punishment for those that are in Christ Jesus. So here's a vow that I want us to, everybody ready for the vow on point one? This is the vow that I want us to take, the New Testament Nazarite vow. We vow not to think that God's going to get us. Amen? Everybody with me? God's not out to get me. God's not out to punish me. God's not out to judge me. God loves me. I'm his favorite. He's got my picture in his wallet. I am his child. I am his child. We are secure in our relationship with the Father. If you're running around thinking that God's going to spank you and God's going to get you, you're not secure in your relationship with God the Father. And he wants you to be secure. And everybody said amen. But the enemy comes around and lies and tries to get you to believe that you don't have a secure relationship with the Father. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a secure relationship with the Father. Okay, here's number two, the hair. We all think about Samson's hair. And in fact, when I was studying it, I found out something that I think it's in the King James Version. When you read it, you'll see that it talks about how, and even in the movie it did this too, but that Samson shook himself, you know, when the anointing came upon him and all that, and that strength came from God. And when he shook himself, he saw his hair when he shook himself. And his hair speaks of his covering or his glory is what it speaks of. And so when he saw his hair, it reminded him of his Nazarite vow, how he was dedicated to God and God was with him, and then this great power came upon him. So here's what happens, though. We have too many Christians walking around cutting their hair. Let me explain that, all right? To cut your hair means this. It means to walk in your own pride of works. All right, now let me explain a little bit further. If you've been saved for a while, there's just this default that starts coming that, and it's a self-righteous religious attitude that starts coming in that you have something to do with it. Guess what, guys? We don't have anything to do with it. Nothing. And so when you start thinking I have something to do with my walk with God and I'm all this in a bag of chips and I'm supersized and all this, you're cutting your hair. Look at somebody and say, don't cut your hair. I'm going to keep explaining this a little bit further. Things are going well with you, and you know you're blessed and highly favored, and so then you start thinking, and people even tell you, well, you must be living right. You just must be living right. You're blessed and highly favored. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, that this is the honest to God truth. I'm your pastor. I love you. I have to tell you the truth. We all go through mountaintops and valleys and all this stuff, and we see somebody that's blessed and highly favored, and we think, man, they must be living right and they must be right with God. I don't know, but maybe not. Because I'm gonna tell you something. Things may be going well with you and you could be going straight to hell. Amen. It's all about your relationship with the Lord. That's the bottom line. And so You don't brag about what you've done right, but about what he did right at the cross. Because I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, bad things are happening in life, so and I'm not living right, and so God's just out to get me. You know, thank God for God's grace. If you read the story of Samson, this man messed up so many times, and he was in the Old Testament before the cross, and God, his grace, you see it in Samson's life over and over and over. He's the God of many chances. Thank God for that, because I screw up every week. Amen? I mess up all the time. But I have learned that it has nothing to do with Mark Haney. Yes, it's out of my love relationship with God is where obedience comes from. I love God. I want to be pleasing to him. I'm here to please him. I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please God. But don't brag about what you've done right, but about what he did right at the cross. Now, I also want to say this on the flip side of the coin is we've got to walk in humility, and that's what I'm talking about. But humility, I guess the best thing I've ever heard somebody say about humility in your walk with Christ is humility is power under control. That's the way I like to look at it. Humility is not belittling yourself. Humility is not putting yourself down. That's not humility. God don't want you to put yourself down. He doesn't. God loves you. You have so much value that he sent his son to die in your place. That's how valuable you are. In 2 Timothy 1:9, this is what it says. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Then another one of my favorites is Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. And everybody said amen. So here's our second vow that we're going to take today, the New Testament Nazarite vow. We vow that all glory in our lives belongs to the Lord, and we see ourselves as valuable to him as his children. Amen. Amen. Okay, there we're all tracking, right? That's the new two. We got two vows out of the way that we're doing today. And here's number three. We're going to talk about the dead. And this is what the dead speaks of. The dead speaks of being outside the kingdom of God. It means you're out of fellowship with the Father and you're separated from him because the Father is all about life. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, you are, and you're going to have to renew your mind to this, okay, guys? You are no longer a sinner. You're a saint. Look at somebody and say, you're a saint. I want you to know, you're looking at Saint Mark today. I used to be Sinner Mark, but now I'm Saint Mark. And I see Saint Travis out there. I see Saint Kenny. I see Saint Paige over there. I see nothing but saints in here today. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a saint. You're a saint. And I was studying this week, and I was looking through all the epistles, and I never saw the Apostle Paul when he went to all the letters he wrote to the churches that he founded and he on his missionary journeys, and then when he would go back and minister to them and everything, he did not ever write a letter and call them a bunch of heathens or a bunch of sinners. He always said to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Philippi, to the saints in Corinth. He always addressed them as saints. And I've read those letters, and I know that some of them in those churches weren't living right. But he still called them saints because they were covered by his grace. I don't always live right. Hello, and I'm your pastor. Thank God for grace. There's those days I have bad thoughts. There's those days I want to rip somebody's head off. I have those days. I'm not always walking around, you know. Is anybody else like me? Okay, good. I'm talking to the right crowd this morning. But that does not, if I have that thought, that don't throw me out of the kingdom of God and I have to go back to church next Sunday and get saved all over again. I am saved. I'm in this process of renewing my mind, and I'm going to be in this process until either I go on to be with the Lord or Jesus comes back. We're all going to be in this process. So I love that about the Apostle Paul when he addressed the churches, he called them saints, and this was in Ephesians 2 verse 19 is another scripture where he says to the church in Ephesus, now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners. That was before you knew Jesus. That was in your BC days. I call those before Christ. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God now. You're a saint now. And you need to wrap your mind around that. Look at somebody and say, you're a saint. Here's the other thing that this word dead means. Don't even entertain this thought, guys, and the enemy will bring it to you, especially when you have those days where you mess up or something happens. Don't even think about touching a thought pattern that you are separated from God. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't ever entertain a thought pattern that you're separated from God. And everybody ready for another favorite scripture of mine? Romans 8, verses 37 through 39 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Look at somebody and say, you're more than a conqueror. Through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, oh, this is good, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. We vow to not see ourselves as, and this is the vow we're going to take here today, guys, on number three. We vow to not see ourselves as worthless sinners separated from the Lord, but as conquering saints in fellowship with him. Everybody got that vow? Those are the three vows. Now, here's what I want to tell you in closing today, all right? As I was studying this, and I don't know how the Lord's going to lead me this week for part three next week, but as I was studying this, this was out of Judges 14, then I get to Judges 16, and we all know the story about Samson and Delilah, where he lays down in her lap, and she cuts his hair, right? And he loses all of his strength, and we most of us know that story in here. If you don't, go home and read Judges 16. Go watch the movie, too. And I was sitting here, and we looked at this vow, and we know who we are now through the after the cross, right? Okay? We're saints. We're conquerors. We're all these things that Jesus tells we are, and we're to renew our minds to those things. But if we all have this power and strength through Christ, then why do we keep on losing in life? That was the thought I had. If what I just taught you today, and we all know that, I was getting amens in here and head nods and all that stuff, this is where my struggle comes from too, guys. Because if I know that I am all those things in Christ, not in myself, but in Christ, that I have this power and this strength, then why do I keep on losing in life? And this is the thought the Holy Spirit gave me, is it's because we are laying our heads. Remember, I talked about the head is a powerful thing. God tells us in Romans 12 to renew our minds according to the word of God. We are laying our heads in the lap of Delilah. Now let me explain that. What Delilah speaks of is deception and lies. And so what I want to tell you today, don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking you're walking in condemnation and should expect judgment, that you're separated from the Lord, because what that brings into your life is a spirit of fear. And God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Guys, God is good, and God is good all the time, no matter what's going on in your life, the good days, the bad days, you know, the mountaintops and the valleys, God is good all the time. Don't let him deceive you into thinking that you should think of yourself as of no value, belittling yourself all the time. I see way too many Christians doing that. Well, I don't look like this. I don't weigh this much. Blah, blah, blah. God loves you. God loves you. No matter, he created you. God loves you. Quit belittling yourself. Know that you have value. There's so many Christians walking around today with no self-worth. And it's because they don't know who they are in Christ. And it allows you to hold your head up high, and I'm a child of God. No matter what kind of hell comes in my life, no matter what I go through, I'm a child of God. But this is the Nazarite vow that we all, and we have to do this daily, guys, because it's a renewing of the mind. You know, with some people, it's temporary. I want you to make this a lifetime vow today, to start renewing your mind according to the word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind. Is everybody going to do that? Okay. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And this was you know, I know I've been talking this morning, and you may be here, and I never take it lightly. I never take it for granted. I know most of you that are here today, but I don't know your relationship with the Lord, and it's about relationship, and it's not about that, you know, I went to church as a kid and went to my mom and dad's church as a kid, and I'm on the membership roll somewhere and all that. It has nothing to do with that. Just like Samson, you know, he never did own up. He never had that real relationship till the very end he did. But he was constantly like living under his mom's convictions, and you can't do that. You have to have your own convictions in life. You have to have your own relationship with the Lord. And I know there may be some people, you know, there's going to be people listening to this by radio. There's going to be people listening to this on Facebook. It's going to be on the internet, on podcast. And what I want to make sure is that anybody that's listening to this, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have a relationship with Him. And the Apostle Paul said that all we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, and that whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's a very simple little prayer, and this is just inviting Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So even if you are here today and you're saved and you know you are, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed and just focused on you and your relationship with the Lord. And I want to pray this over all of us today. Father, I'm praying that we all leave here today taking this vow to heart. Today, this New Testament Nazirite vow that we've learned today, that the grapes and the wine speak of understanding that we're no longer under God's judgment, God, that there was a cross. Jesus took our judgment and our punishment upon Himself, and He died in our place. And Father, I thank You that Romans 8:1 is a banner over our lives today, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we leave here today vowing not to think that God's going to get us. We are leaving here today knowing that we have a secure relationship with You, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those here today that with the hair. We're talking about how that, Father, that we're going to give everything that goes on in our lives, Lord, all the praise, all the glory. We vow that all glory in our lives belongs to You. And we see ourselves as valuable to You as Your children, God. We're not going to belittle ourselves or think those bad thoughts about ourselves, God. We're going to see ourselves as valuable to You and Your kingdom because we are. And so, Father, I thank You also, Lord, that we're not going to walk out of here with death. We're going to walk out of here with life, God, and making the vow that we're not going to touch a thought pattern that's trying to separate us from You in our relationship with You. So we vow not to see ourselves as worthless sinners separated from You, Father, but as conquering saints in fellowship with You as we leave here today. God, I thank You that we are taking this vow seriously. We're going to renew our minds according to do it. God, I know that the enemy is going to try to make us to lay down in the lap of Delilah and deceive us and lie to us that we're not these things, but we are. God. And so, Lord, we're going to have to speak to Him with the word of God like Jesus did and say, no, it is written. No, it is written. No, it is written. And so, God, I pray that we do that in the name of Jesus because He is going to come and try to deceive us and lie to us, God. And so, Lord, but we know the truth today after hearing this word today, and the truth is what's going to set us free. And we give You all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here, because I'm going to speak a blessing over you before we go today. I love speaking blessings over people. Do you love receiving blessings? Okay. I want you to grab the person's hand next to you there, and we're going to speak this blessing over all of us today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that he has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Tell somebody, hug somebody's neck, and tell them, I took the Nazirite vow today, the New Testament Nazirite vow. I'll hug your neck, Debbie. Love you guys. Y'all have a blessed week.